Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a Monday, January the 24th, 2022, 1:24:22, 16 and a half minutes past the hour, and if you like the snow, the Sunday continuum, the Sunday tradition, apparently, of having snow here in Marion, continued yesterday. And I think I've got a little offage here on my microphone, so hopefully we'll fix that. There we go. I think we're back in good shape. But it seems like right now we have a tradition on Sunday. This was the second week that the snow comes in. Now, I don't know why the snow is coming on Sundays, but hey, it does what it does. It was interesting yesterday, because most people seem not to know that this particular storm was coming. It was kind of odd, because in general, most people like to talk about the weather. Like the story the week before about the snow coming was a fairly big story. People were talking about it for 3 or 4 days before. They were saying first significant snowfall, and Columbus is going to get 3 to 6, and Marion's going to get 1 to 3, and then it was Marion's not going to get that, and we've lifted the winter weather advisory, and then on this station we said 1 inch, and then it turned out to be 3.5 inches, I think, was our total in the end. So it's talked about a lot. But this particular storm, when I was here on Friday, I don't remember any of the weather reports talking about it. I remember that Adam said something about snow possible over the weekend, but there was no accumulation totals. And I was out over the weekend Saturday, and I did not hear anything until Saturday night that there was a storm coming on Sunday. And to be honest with you, when a storm comes during the day, it's a little different than when it happens at night. The last storm happened at night, Sunday night going into Monday. I don't know why it's different. I think people do not want to stay in. And clearly yesterday, if you were out on the roads, people did not stay in. And I think we went to a level one some point yesterday. But people do not stay in. So when people are on the road and the trucks are out on the road clearing the roads, I think the roads stay pretty clear for the most part because they're constantly being traveled. It's an interesting thing. I noticed everybody was at the businesses yesterday that they normally are. It didn't seem like business dropped off at all anywhere where I was yesterday. So for whatever reason, when the snow falls during the day, it just does not do that much harm to people who are out and about, and the streets continue to be traveled. And I think it's also easier for plow trucks to get out there and do their job, because they can see what they're doing when the snow is falling, as opposed to overnight. But I've never talked to anybody who drove a plow truck. I don't know. I guess there are positives and negatives to both, having the snow fall at night and having the snow fall during the day. My guess at night, it's probably nice because a lot of people aren't on the road, so you can just get out there and do what you need to do, but it's probably harder to see what's going on. During the day, easier to see what's going on, but more people on the road might make it a little more treacherous. But the roads seem okay this morning. I don't think I was on a road this morning that was bad at all. I think cooler temperatures are allowing for this snow to stick around. Now, I did go out and do a measurement this morning, 2.5 inches here on South Prospect Street at the radio station. Now, that could be right. It doesn't seem to me like more snow fell yesterday than did a week ago. I guess it was just a week ago now, when we got 3.5 inches. So 2.5 inches sounds about right. to me. Is that what people are getting? I know we have readings that we get from all around the community. Was everybody out this morning with their yardstick measuring the snow, finding out how much snow fell last night? And like I say, this is not a hugely scientific thing, but at every radio station I've ever worked at, even ones that reported the weather to the meteorological societies, that's how they did it. They just took a yardstick outside, and they found a spot that was not a drift, and they stuck it in there, and that's how they got their reading. So here at the radio station, on the south side of Marion, 2.5 inches fell yesterday. Now, apparently, there is going to be more snow today, but again, falling during the day. So my guess is that the plow trucks and everybody who's out there going to work today and people who just are not comfortable being cooped up will be out again and doing their thing, and that'll probably help the roads be less treacherous, to be honest with you. But 2.5 inches here at the radio station. Does anybody have any readings from around the area? 740-383-9944. Also, did anybody hear of this storm coming, this 2.5-inch storm? And what were they saying the snow accumulation was going to be? I really didn't hear anything about it. Now, again, that could be because on Saturday I was not around a television. I really don't have a weather app on my phone or anything like that, so I wasn't paying too close attention. But when did they start calling this a storm? That there was going to be some type of accumulation coming down here in Marion? Because that just completely went over my head. Didn't know anything about it until Saturday night. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz here. 22 coming up on 23 minutes past the hour. But as I said, the snow accumulation here on South Prospect Street at this point is 2.5 inches. I wonder what it is everywhere else. Now, last week, the snow came down. It seemed as if over here on the south side, we had a little more snow than they got on the east side. I think we had 3.5 over here, but out toward 95 and Clarendon, I think they were more toward the 2.5 inches. So We'll try to get some readings here this morning. I know everybody's still in bed because it was a particularly cold night last night that followed the snowstorm. And I think most people enjoy just staying in bed when it's cold and snowy and you don't have to go outside. Now, I would have done that this morning myself if I didn't have to come in here. But you know what was interesting? As I was coming in here this morning, the traffic was very light compared to a normal Monday morning. And also, the McDonald's line was almost non-existent. So that's particularly nice. Go ahead, caller.
Scott Spears, interviewer to the stars and snow measurer.
Yes, that is true.
2.5 inches. So that's not too bad. It's very geographically function of geography. I was on the far west side of Columbus yesterday. They had what I would call light dusting. Maybe an inch. 270 was fine, but maybe they had cleared it before I started driving. And near the Delaware-Franklin County line, maybe 2 inches. So I think Marion might be a little bit west of where it gets bad, because it was kind of on a northeast line. So, I mean, normally the snow belt, you know, east of Cleveland, they always get it. But I think once you go a little bit east of Marion, it probably gets worse. So maybe we can hear from somebody if we have listeners in Mansfield or Johnstown. I suspect it's a little worse over there. But I think the inches total was right on. And, you know, it's not too bad now. It's light winds. We're not going to have the high winds we had earlier in the month. So I don't think it's that bad. It's not really snowman snow, though. It's kind of granular. So anybody wanted to build a snowman, it's not really the kind of consistency you need for that.
So now, what was the prediction for today? 1 to 3 inches? Is that what I heard?
1 to 3 additional, yeah. When the weatherman did the forecast, he said possibly. Because snow, you never quite know, and it really is quite regional.
Now, how did the weatherman miss this storm? Because I was in here, late Friday, and there was no snow accumulation totals on the weather report.
It was listed for light accumulation, maybe an inch, but that's what all the weather people were saying. All your weather buddies, Ben and Jim, and all those fine weathermen with much more education than our weather person here at this station.
Jim called me, and he says he wants you to call him Mr. Ganahl.
Is that like Mr. Donahue?
Must be. He must hear you referring to him in the commonplace way, and he doesn't like it. He wants you to call him Mr. Ganahl.
Okay, well, I'll do that next time I see him, but I'm not sure I ever met the guy. I called Ben once because I thanked him for being on with you, and he didn't really seem to object. Everybody kind of calls him Ben.
But now, how do you know? Do you follow him around?
No. He does a lot of social media. He's always talking about the forecast, and people ask him questions, and they always say thanks, Ben, or address him that way. I've never heard an objection.
Oh, okay. Well, I wanted to let you know.
But I don't have his autograph like I have Jim's, or Mr. Ganahl, or whatever you want to call him.
Yeah. Well, so, people just like formalities.
But that was 2-4, which was accurate. So, it's tricky, especially when the winds can affect what system we get and where it drops the snow. It's kind of fascinating. Mid-Ohio especially, because as you get closer to Mansfield, you have higher elevations. And sometimes you just go half a mile and you'll see a definite change in the weather and precipitation.
So there was no
parts of the area.
So there was no thought of snow until Saturday.
Well, it was up to an inch. That's what the weather said. And then it was changed. Actually, the weatherman here changed it on Saturday, saying 2-4, which was the consensus, and that was about accurate.
Just a little over two.
There should have been some snow left from the last storm, so you're talking about new snow, right?
Yeah, this is new snow. There wasn't much snow left from the last storm. Between the temperatures that warmed up last week, like my walkways at home were clean, and I didn't shovel them.
Yeah, because I think we're just a little bit west of where it got worse, because it was kind of on that northeast line. Last time it was southeast, like some of the southeastern counties. Athens County had a level 3, which the Marion just had level 1, I believe. I don't think Franklin County got any warnings at all. Delaware had a 1, but I think
Marion had a level 1.
It depends upon the side roads and the temperature, because obviously if it's cooler, it's going to be harder to clear, and when it falls. So many things factor into that, and it's a judgment call. But southeastern Ohio, being more rural and the higher elevation, sometimes they get it, and that was the previous storm. But this one went more northeast from what I'm seeing. Weather in Ohio with the four seasons and the regional differences and the lake effect, it's really one of the most interesting parts of the state. I like the four seasons.
So now that the storm is just hours away for today, because it's my understanding it's supposed to start like 10 or 11 this morning.
Yeah, late morning.
So what's it look like just being a couple hours away?
1 to 3 inches. I think that sounds reasonable. And possibly some freezing rain tonight, too. So there may be some road issues midweek. Just based upon what the origin of the air and the precipitation and what the ground is like, and as you get freezing rain when it's that cold, that can make for treacherous driving. So just be careful out there.
Now, why do you think the weathermen can never get closer with all this high technology?
It is kind of fascinating. Snow totals always seem to be the most difficult part of forecasting. I think a lot of it is kind of regional. It's elevation, and then when you have temperatures that are near freezing, like today, Columbus's forecast low to mid 30s, and that can affect exactly what falls. And then if it sticks, and how you measure snow, and you get the fluffy snow, you get the granular snow. This snow seems more granular, and you have a kind that's kind of wet, and that's good for making a snowman. You know, there's really not even enough snow to make a snowman, but maybe later in the winter. that's part of the fun of the cold weather.
Well, the roads look pretty clear, so if it's only going to be 1 to 3 inches today,
yeah,
I wouldn't seem that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I've not seen issues at all, but it's the side roads, and sometimes too you get the potholes, and sometimes the snow covers a pothole, you don't realize that it's there, so it's always a bit of an adventure. Just be careful out there. Yeah, the surprise in driving in the Four Seasons is part of the fun of living in this area. Yeah, you have to embrace it. So, if you have any celebrity guests coming up this week?
Well, I don't know if people ever really embrace it. I think people deal with it. I think people just, you know, if it snows, it snows. We go out, we deal with it. But I don't know if people ever fully embrace driving on snow.
Well,
I've never.
Radio in the 80s. It was in that area. I was checking. It was -30 a couple days ago. And that happens. You wake up, yeah, it's 30, 35 below. That's always a fun weather forecast to give.
Now, is that actual temperature, or is that wind chill?
Yeah, no, that's actual temperature.
So what was the wind chill?
If it gets to -40, that's easy, because -40 Celsius and Fahrenheit are the same. No, that's a real temperature. You'll see a couple -20, -30s.
So what was the wind chill?
When it's that cold, the wind tends to be lighter, so it's not going to be a big difference. I don't really pay a lot of attention to wind chill. I look at air temperature. I'm not a big wind chill person. I think almost that heat index, where the humidity affects the temperature in the summer, is more important.
Well, I don't know. I would think if the wind was blowing, it definitely seems colder outside
today.
Yeah.
And it's what direction too. You have a warm wind, a colder wind, and obviously sun. There are many things that affect it. I mean, 30 degrees if it's sunny with light winds isn't too bad. But if it's 30 and it's blustery, then it's cold and wintry. So there are differences in the desert where, you know, maybe 110 degrees, but the humidity is low, so it's not as bad.
So you
110 in Ohio, where it's going to be humid, it is stifling.
So you won't go out at this point and make a personal prediction that's right to the inch.
No, I go to the 1 to 3. I would think it'll be on the lower end. I think 1 to 2 though. We'll get another inch though. I looking at the sky and the radar, I would tend to agree that by the early lunchtime, late morning, we're going to start seeing some flakes. This is kind of a calm before the storm. You see that a lot.
Well, I don't know if 1 inch is considered a storm.
No, I don't get that. That's not a storm. I mean, we moved from Rochester to Columbus. And, you know, my mom would just laugh at what they call the snowstorm or heavy snow. We haven't had a snowstorm this year. I mean, nothing that I would call that. But that's me living a lot of my life in upstate New York, where it's a fact of life.
Now, have you ever thought about moving back to upstate New York?
Well, I'm not moving to the state of New York or even going there due to some of the restrictions that they've added. But let's put it that way. The economy is not good. The weather kind of stinks. So, for now, yeah, I'm embracing, you know, you say the word again, I'm embracing being an Ohioan. Ohio grows on you really, really quickly. And it is such an underrated state.
Well, I don't know. I see a lot of attention placed on Ohio.
But, yeah, I mean, there are government issues in New York State, unfortunately, and those probably will change, but they're still in place. Ohio, too, there's diversity in different parts of the state. You know, the three C's, the three major cities, they're all a little bit different. And the weather, yeah, going to east of Cleveland this time of the year probably isn't good unless you like cross-country skiing and you got a 4x4, but there's plenty of things to do there when the weather cooperates. You know, Cincinnati is, I describe it as equal parts northeast, midwest, and southern. Which is cool, and again, Mid Ohio, lots of things to do. People that think Mid Ohio is a boring area have never been there, because people that have been there know that there's a lot to do, and also the cost of living is also very low.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, becoming an Empire State resident, I don't see that happening again. But yeah, for now. And I think we're enjoying being a Buckeye State resident.
Now, anything
being a Bengals fan, it's a good time. the Bengals in Kansas City. I'm not sure if you saw that game yesterday. That game, I'm going to talk about that on my show.
So what's on the show today?
What's on the show? Well, we'll take calls and see what's on people's mind. We can talk about the football playoffs if they want. Is there going to be a baseball season? And yes, we will give away a restaurant gift card. Stump the DJ doesn't seem to be too successful, so we'll probably play Family Feud. But Stump the DJ is available if somebody wants to try it. Either way, when I give something away, it's people have to earn it. It's a badge of honor.
I don't know. Now, there was some conjecture last week, and I just want to clear this up. You did not pay for this gift card. It was you didn't, like, reach into your pocket and pay $30, right?
Oh, no, I can't afford that.
Yeah, well, that's what I understood.
I'm a working stiff.
Some people thought you bought this gift card, and I said, no, I don't think that's what happened.
So do you have any...
Do what? Are you there?
Right here, yeah. Do you have any good celebrity guests coming up this week, or do you keep that under wraps?
Well, I always keep it under wraps. You know, you have to pay attention the night before.
How's it looking getting the Queen on? Is that going to happen?
The Queen?
Queen of England.
Well, I understand, but do you have a fascination with the Queen? Is there something you want to know about the Queen?
Yeah, are you going to get the Queen? No, I love the accent.
Oh, you like the accent?
Yeah, well, I'd like to hear from the Queen. I think, you know, I mean, you got Geraldo. Well, why stop there?
Well, I don't know. You know, usually...
And I want Donald, too. I'd like them both on separate times. They can do it over the phone. Donald doesn't have to come in. But if he does take a plane, I'll gladly pick him up.
Well, you know, I don't know. At this point, you know, I'm a little worried somebody would slip outside. I don't. The Queen at her age, and you know, Donald's up there too. I wouldn't want somebody to take a tumble. We might have to wait for spring for that.
Yeah, well, Donald's a vibrant young man, isn't he? Isn't that what he said?
I don't know. Did he?
Yeah, he said he was a vibrant young man.
Well, I still don't want anybody falling down. Bones break at all age.
Yeah, wouldn't want that to happen. That would be unfortunate.
Yes. We don't need that.
But, yeah, I would... I'd love to hear from the... I don't know if the Queen gives interviews, but, you know, I didn't think Geraldo would give an interview, and sure enough, he did. So, nothing surprises me anymore.
Well, you know, never doubt anything.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's about all I had for you. Any questions for me?
No. Nope, that was it.
But just remind people, yeah, don't turn the radio off. I will be on at about 15 after 10.
Don't turn the radio off.
Radio extravaganza.
Okay. And is it the same gift card? Is it the $30 to...
Yeah.
Okay. Where is it?
It 143 North Main, I believe.
No. So what's the restaurant?
Cars Motown, Coney Island.
Okay. That sounds
good. I'm getting hungry thinking about it. Okay, Scott. Well, we'll see you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, do you ever get the feeling that when Adam calls in, that a lot of times he does not listen to the questions that I'm asking him? Now, I think he answers some of the questions I'm asking him, but sometimes I don't think he's paying attention to every question that I'm asking him. But that's showbiz. 39 minutes past the hour, and you can catch his show this morning from 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Then we will have Linda Sims today, 4:10 p.m. till 5 p.m. with Voice of a People here on this station. But again, 2.5 inches here on the south side of Marion. Does anybody have any snow readings from anywhere else in the area? Anything else on their mind this morning? 740-383-9944. Did anybody else know more about this storm that came yesterday that brought us 2.5 inches prior to Saturday? That's kind of late in the game for a snowstorm to pop up. Usually you hear days before that something like that is going to happen. 740-383-9944. And is there any reason why people continue to go out on the roads? If a storm happens during the day, they do. Like today, this 1 to 3 inches, I mean, that could make the roads a little bit more difficult to navigate. But truth be told, I think people will be out on the roads today. I certainly don't think it's going to stop anybody. Didn't used to be that way, to be honest with you. Didn't used to be that way. A lot more people, I think, used to stay home. It's kind of like driving with your windshield wipers on and not turning your lights on, which I believe that is a law in Ohio, that you have to, when you have your windshield wipers on, you have to have your lights on. I see that wrong all the time. I see people with their windshield wipers on, and if they have them on during the day, they tend to never have their lights on. And a lot of times in the early morning as well, because it's starting to get daylight, but yet people don't turn the headlights on, even though they have the windshield wipers going. Again, 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz if there's anything on your mind. 41 and a half minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio time. Always interested to hear what's on your mind. Now, I did get a call over the weekend. This must have been, I don't know if it was Friday night or Saturday or Sunday, but a listener out there by the name of Carrie called in and said that he had went over, Catwoman, Sue Millizer, has become a topic on this show, and apparently Terry went over to Sue's on Friday, and she still has the male cat, is what we have learned, and that I guess she didn't want any help with the radio again. I know we heard that last week, that she didn't want any help with the radio, but apparently that's a continual thing with Sue at this particular point. And this Terry, who called in on sometime over the weekend, also wanted to wish Angie a happy birthday. He was talking about how he has a smartphone, but he's not all that technologically savvy when using the smartphone. He says he listens all the time, but he couldn't get the call in on Friday because of the smartphone. And trust me, I can certainly sympathize with that. Some of these phones are very difficult. All kinds of little crevices and buttons and areas you can go off into that would throw you off the beaten path, to say the least. So, Terry, thank you for going over and seeing what's going on with Sue. I wonder, has anybody else checked in with her? Because it's very interesting. We've had three reports back now, I think, from Sue. The first one was somebody offered to tune her radio for her, and she rejected that. And then somebody called and was trying to tell her where she could take her cats to get them fixed. Now, at that point, apparently the radio station was on in the background, but she was kind of frazzled and didn't necessarily want to deal with that at that point. And now we're getting the report from our friend Terry here that she still does have the male cat. She never did get rid of that as of Friday, and she did not want any help with the radio. So that's where we are. Does anybody else have any reports on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz if any of this sounds of interest to you. Now, I'll tell you, the voice on the answering machine, Terry, I had never heard that voice before, to be honest. So I appreciate Terry for being out there. He says he listens every morning. It's always good to have listeners out there. And as I said before, he also did want to wish Angie a happy birthday. So it was her birthday Friday, and I think she had a very good time. Now, over the weekend, I wanted to talk about a trip I took over the weekend. I went to, with Angie, went to the Toledo area. And I'll tell you why we went there in just a second. And this was one of the most unique places I've been in a long, long time. But we went to a place called the Mommy Antique Mall. Now, I like places like that. Although, I do believe most antique malls are overpriced. I think when you see a flea market, you might be able to get a deal there. I think if you go to a Goodwill or a Salvation Army and you're looking for things, you might be able to get a good deal there. When you go into an antique mall, not that everybody is overpriced, but it seems to me like they're pricing their items like their family heirlooms. And I don't think a lot of these items ever move, because if you walk through an antique mall, you will tend to notice that the same stuff is there over and over and over. Now, I can't say the same for this place, because it was busy, but it just seemed like there was so much stuff there. I think there was something like 2.5 acres or something of stuff in this antique mall. Certainly not a small antique mall, but it was fun to visit. Everybody was very nice there, and they were very busy. So that was nice to see, and trust me, you could have found a lot of things of interest in this antique mall. There was stuff all over the place. Now, I do have a question, though. As I walk through this antique mall, a common item seemed to be old bottles. Now, I'm not necessarily saying like old milk jugs or anything, although there were some of those there. But it was just old bottles, like old pop bottles and old cans. There were even old cans there. And I think, now, do those have a lot of value? Old pop bottles and old cans? Now, some of them do say things, or some of them, I think, are kind of special soda brands or things of that nature. I don't know. Does anybody listening have a collection of old pop bottles or old beer bottles or glass bottles or cans? I just saw a lot of that in this Mommy Antique Mall. And I'll tell you, some of these cans and bottles were a little pricey. So I don't know. I don't know if that's something people collect or not. Now, I will say, at home, I do have some bottles of things. I don't think I have any cans, but I do have some bottles, but they all have some kind of significance to me. I don't think I would try to take them out and sell them. I don't know that anybody would want the old bottles. They just have some significance to me. I think I probably have 2 bottles, maybe 3. Something like that. So I don't know. Is this something that people go to antique malls for? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Also, do people find antique malls to be somewhat overpriced? I have not been to the flea market out here on Lynn Hipshire in quite a while. Now, the last time I was there, I thought things were priced okay. But it used to be flea markets were much less pricey, and antique malls were much less pricey than stores. Now it's kind of flip-flopped for whatever reason. I don't know. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Also, any snow accumulation totals in Marion? We've got 2.5 here. Any other ones from around the area? Would love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. Now, the real highlight of the trip to Toledo was going to this little restaurant that Angie had been wanting to go to called Schmucker's. That was the name of the restaurant. Now, it was a locally owned restaurant, I think, since 1940-something, almost 75 years of operation. Now, it is the tiniest little place. I don't know how many people this place seats, but I'm thinking somewhere probably maybe 50, 60 maybe. There's a counter, a small counter where you can sit, and then there are some tables and then a few booths, but the space of the place is very, very small. And when you go in, there's actually a sign that says, please wait to be seated, but there can be up to 1.5 hours wait, I think just because the size of the place. So we go in, and it definitely looks like an old-fashioned diner. And this was right up Angie's alley, because she loves old-fashioned diners. So we go into this old-fashioned diner, and we actually did get set very quickly. We went a little before dinner time, so we got set very quickly. But never in all my life, in all the places I have ate, have I ever seen service like this. What happened was we ordered our food, and I ordered a BLT with fries, and these were homemade fries. These were not fries coming out of a bag. And I think Angie ordered roast beef sandwich. I think there were mashed potatoes in there. And we started to talk after we placed this order, and here came this food, piping hot and ready to go, probably within 5 minutes of us ordering it. I've never seen food come to the table that fast. And it was interesting to me because the menu is rather large. It's not like they could have all this food ready to go in the back. I don't know how they got that done so fast. But within 5 minutes, here came the food. The food was piping hot. It was good. It was delicious. And apparently, they're known for their pies. They've got all kinds of different pies there. And I had some blueberry pie. It was very good. I think Angie had the... what did she have? I think it was... I know it was a crisp pie. Might have been a peach crisp. But the pies, they are known for the pies. They got these pies cut and sacked up extra fast. And it was funny because last week I was talking about our excursion here in town to another restaurant where we left the leftovers on the table and they got thrown away. Well, this place had already brought the leftover boxes without us having to ask for them, and actually took the stuff off the plate and put it into the box for us. Now that's service. It was an amazing place. And we were in and out of there fairly quick because of the tremendous service. And it never felt pushy or anything. It never felt like they were trying to get rid of us. And I'll tell you something. One of the unique facets of this place was there is an old-fashioned payphone in the corner. And like I say, it's not a very big restaurant to begin with. But there's an old-fashioned payphone in the corner that... You know, it's one of those old wooden payphone boxes that people used to go in, a booth, I guess I should say, and then the payphone is in there, and we were trying to get a picture of this old booth and payphone, and people kept getting in and out of there, and I kept thinking, boy, are that many people making calls? Well, it's kind of funny, because what it is, that is the phone that rings in the restaurant. That's where I guess they take their orders, to-go orders, and they answer the phone if somebody's going to call off work or whatever. That's just their phone. It's in this old-fashioned phone booth. And I thought, what an interesting idea that is. So it was an all-around good experience at this Smucker's restaurant up in Toledo, Ohio, which was only about 10 minutes away from the Mommy Antique Mall. So it was a very nice excursion to Toledo. And on the way back, we came through Upper Sandusky and stopped at the McDonald's there to get a drink. And, you know, the Upper Sandusky McDonald's is very well placed. A matter of fact, I've never seen as well placed a McDonald's as the one in Upper Sandusky. When you come off the highway, it is right there. And then when you can just get right back on the highway very easy. But has anybody ever been to this Smucker's in Toledo? This iconic place which has been there for about 75 years? Give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Has anybody ever been to this place? Or would you like to go to this place? Does this sound like a place you'd like to go? really old-fashioned food, prepared like food should be prepared, which that is a plus. And only about an hour and a half away from here, I think from Marion, where I live, out by Meyer, to the Smucker's restaurant in Toledo, it was exactly about an hour and a half. So you could go up there for a day trip, go up there for lunch, have a nice little entree, have a nice dessert, and kind of move on down the road. 740-383-9944. Any thoughts on that? Or anything else this morning? Give us a buzz. Kind of a slow morning here this morning. You know, I'm telling you, when it snows and it's cold, I think people stay in bed. I think they listen from the comfort of their own home. Or maybe people are running out to buy things because they think there's going to be another storm. I still don't understand bread and milk. There is always a run on bread and milk. I do not understand that. I say this every year. I say this every time there's a snowstorm. Why would you go out and buy bread and milk when those are two things that spoil? And I also don't really know. I wonder if the blizzard of 78 is what created all the paranoia around snow. Because it just seems like any time anybody mentions snow on television or on radio, it drives people to the grocery store. And they just go in and buy up everything they can. I still would think, if I really thought I was going to be snowed in or there wasn't going to be electricity or something like that, I would buy stuff like canned food. I would buy soups. I would buy applesauce. I would buy canned fruit. I would not buy bread and milk. Bread and milk would spoil if you lost electricity. Now, I do remember stories from the blizzard of 78 where people took their bread and milk and things of that nature, and they would stuff them in a snowdrift to keep them cold. I do remember that. All right, let's take a call here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I'm going to go with whatever you and Adam says, and I'm not even going to venture out there. I usually go out the sliding glass door and take the shovel and just scoop it out, and I'm right there at the railing and measure it. But I think you're about right on that, just with my vision. And that's, you know, my opinion on that is pretty close, Scott.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's 2.5 inches. You know, I think the snow came in yesterday and all the cold weather, and I think it's just worn people out.
Oh, well, the first measurement, that was the first initial big snow we had. Something else. You know, I got to do a little something right here.
The alarm going off?
I got one fixed, and I done something that I shouldn't have done, but that's the way it goes.
That's the way it goes. That's right.
But anyhow, Scott, the a restaurant similar to that. Now, I don't know about really looking old, but it's got all the characteristics in it as a real in the 50 diner. And that's right up in Plymouth, Ohio. You know, ever been to Plymouth?
No, I don't think I ever have.
Well, it's just right above Upper Sandusky there. You take a little trip up to Plymouth someday, and it's even got the drive-in, and where you can sit in the car and get it. Or you go inside, and, you know, like I say, that's very close. And you go in there, and the service you're experiencing at this other restaurant you are is almost identical as you were saying at this one. It's a fun place, and it's tight, a little tight in there, but it's a fun place. So you're going to have to try that. That's a short trip.
Now, what's the name of the place in Plymouth?
Plymouth, Ohio.
Right. What's the name of the restaurant?
Well, you're not going to miss it, because you just go into Plymouth, and you keep going, and when you come from the south, you're going into Plymouth, whatever direction it is, I'd have to say, I'm thinking about, I can't even tell you about the the route. I'd look on the map and it'd come right to my head, but we travel so many. I'm a guy that travels by sight and the things, and I'll say, oh, that's just up the road because I remember that big barn over there, see? But anyhow, that's the way I've traveled a lot, so getting right down. But you look on the map and go to Plymouth, and it's just above Upper Sandusky. But anyhow, that place is clean and neat, and the service is excellent, and you really enjoy that one. And talking about some of the antiques, well, I've been around antiques. I am one now, but I've been around them ever since I've been 8 years old with Mom and Dad and stuff. And people that knows antiques, I've associated with, well, Almendinger. He used to be right down there north of where the sporting goods store was, and the auctioneers and stuff. But anyhow, through the grapevine, the older people, that antiques in that era, from my time I'm talking about up to now, and I imagine now there's some really good ones. There's a lot of reproduction, say, in bottles and cans and stuff like that. And if you look at it, and if you're a younger person, you don't know what an older one really looks like, you know. And even a person like myself that's been around, there's some good old-looking reproduction. And the price is up there, and it couldn't be close to the value of a real old can, you know, like back in the 1919s or something like that, compared to one that was made maybe 2 years ago. But they're pretty good. But furniture and everything, there is everything, boys, and pricey, yeah. Maybe they could get that thing someplace made on reproductions at, let's just say, $10, and they could have it up to $20, and maybe the real value on an old antique book, it might be $50. See what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. It's an interesting thing because I understand people holding on to their antiques. There's things that I would not want to sell, but I think if you're trying to sell it, which I guess is why you're in the antique mall, that's why you would keep the price lower, because you'd want it to move. I mean, that's, I think, what we do in all other facets of retail business. But in that business, I don't know that they necessarily want it to move.
Here's the thing. With me being at the age I am now, and the stuff that I've had, that my parents has had, some of the stuff that I've seen and everything, I thought it used to be if a real antique was 100 years or older, you know what I mean? I don't know what the thing is. But if I'm 80 now, and if I was 8 years old, let's just say 10, well, the thing's about 70 years old, and I know a fact been sitting right there on the table.
Yeah.
So, and then it looked old then, so it's up there, see what I mean? If you want to go by the quality of an antique and the price, that's the way that could be the differential of knowing it. But when you're younger, how do you know it? Or if you didn't have anybody that, if you learned about that, that's the whole thing about learning when you're a young kid and stuff about different things that don't amount to really a tinker's darn. But at some time in your life, here it comes along. But I'd like to say, some of it today, buddy, furniture and stuff like that, it's hard to tell. But it's just whatever. You want to get a couple things of this, that, and you're satisfied. It don't make no difference if it has the old real quality that was made back in 1800s, you know. That don't make no difference. If you're a young person and you like it and it looks old, that's the name of the game. That's life today.
That's it. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to break. Back in 15 minutes.
Your guy is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio, providing on-site and remote-based technical support, computer troubleshooting, and network setup for homes and businesses. Website, PCTech.com.